And the church says, amen. Amen. This morning, you know, we're going to talk about what faith does. And, you know, Hebrews, what a perfect, timely letter that God has given unto us, because we are moving toward revolution. Amen? And with all that being said, remember now that this was written to Jewish believers in the first century. The temple was still standing. Sacrifices were still being offered. And these Jewish believers who've now left Judaism, trusting in Christ Jesus as their true Messiah, there's some form of something is happening in some of their hearts to return, if you will, to some form of Judaism. So this Hebrews was written as a letter of encouragement to them to continue running the race. But it's also written for us and to every generation. Amen? And remember now, we left off at chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. That concluded the doctrinal section, if you will, of Hebrews. Now we put everything into practice. And we've learned from last Sunday that now that we moved into a brand new section, Hebrews chapter 11, that there's only one way for those that are in Christ Jesus, those that are born again, for them to live on this planet. And we learned that from those scriptures, that the just shall live by faith. The word is live. That means your lifestyle. You believe God who cannot lie. You trust him implicitly. We also learn from Hebrews 11:1 what faith is. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So we don't walk by our senses. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not ruled by the circumstances in our life. So remember what we learned last time, that true Bible faith is confident. I mean, absolute confident obedience to God's word, no matter the circumstance. Amen? No matter the circumstance and no matter the consequences. Boy, that's a big word. But that's what true faith does. That's why we've entered into the hall of fame of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. We also learned something else. We learned that faith, that God, when it comes to faith, the ear, our ear, amen, you have one, touch it, there it is, it's right here. You have two of them, all right, but one will work. You know, that the ear is the portal that God uses for us. Remember from Hebrews 10:17, the rhema of God, the spoken word of God, the sayings of God. Faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Hebrews 1:2, what did God say? God has spoken to us, them in the first century and to every generation. God has spoken to us in these last days. We're living in the last days by his son, Jesus Christ. He's spoken to us. He who has ears to hear, we should be hearing what Jesus has told us. Amen? He said in Matthew 7:24 from last Sunday, remember, he said this. Jesus said, he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I likened him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The storms of life came. In other words, the winds, the bloods, the floods and all of that. But that house didn't fall. So we learn that we have to be a doer of God's word, James 1:22, not just a hearer. If we do that, we deceive our own selves. Amen? Today is a today word. Hebrews 3:7. The Holy Spirit says, the Spirit of truth says, today, that's urgent, today, right this minute, if you hear the word of God, don't rebel against it. Believe it. Amen? Now listen, loved one, there will never be revolution, meaning revival, moving on with God, no matter what we're going to face next year or today. There'll never, ever be revolution in this church until every believer truly, they hear the word of God and then they do it. Amen? And that's what we need. That's what we have to have right this minute. So chapter 11, what a timely, here we are moving into the remainder of the year and we're in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it was written, these examples are not only written for the Jewish believers of the first century, but to every generation of believers, because in spite of their suffering, their persecution, in spite of all that they went through, the Hall of Fame of Faith, these men and women, they stood their ground. They believe the word of God no matter the consequences, no matter the circumstances. They believed God, and they knew that the just should live by faith. So this morning, as we look at verse 4 of Hebrews 11 on about what faith does, and remember, we're going to be in Genesis 4, 5, and 6 as well. So let's begin. It says in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and though which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. God, look what God did. He was testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. Now, we're going all the way back to the beginning. I mean, God created Adam and Eve. Amen? And then they fell. And what did they produce? They produced two sons, Cain and then Abel. Isn't it amazing? You know, their sons. Now, Cain and Abel, did they have a grandmother? Grandfather? Boy, you're a well-taught church, aren't you? They didn't have any of that. No, listen, their mother and father, Adam and Eve, did they know God face to face? Yes. Did they walk with him in the garden? Yes. Absolutely. Man, did they live in a perfect paradise? Yes. And think about it. Adam, the father of Cain and Abel, the stories he could tell, he named all the animals. Yeah. I mean, think about that. How about Eve, the mother of Cain and Abel? She could say, and I spoke to the serpent. Never mind, y'all didn't get that. Look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4 now, okay? Genesis chapter 4, hold your place and turn to Genesis 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And look what Eve said. I have acquired a man from the Lord, or literally with the help of the Lord. Now, Eve may have been thinking that God was now fulfilling his promise in Genesis 3:15 to raise up seed. Of course, this is not what it is, but raise up seed, meaning Jesus the Messiah, okay? But that wasn't fulfilled in Cain. And it says, and then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. So the first baby born on planet Earth was a boy. And the first name ever given to a baby on planet Earth was the name Cain. And that name, of course, means acquired. And the name was given by the very first mother on planet Earth, and that would be Eve. The second baby, Abel, his name in the Hebrew speaks as literally breath or brevity, and which literally is speaking about the shortness of his life, okay? Now look at verse 2 again. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, look what he did, he brought an offering in the type of the fruit of the ground, and he brought it to the Lord. Also, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, listen carefully. We have two brothers, Cain and Abel. We have two vocations, okay? One was taking care of the fruit of the ground and so forth, and the other wasn't. And then we have two different offerings, but we're also going to find out there's two different destinies involving them. You see where it says that word there in that scripture? It says, in the process of time. That's a very, very important word. It literally could read at the designated time or specific time, indicating also a specific place. And I want you to notice that both the brothers, they both brought offerings to the Lord at the same time. Now listen, I believe with all of my heart that the place, the specific place, was there right in front of the Garden of Eden. You remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He removed them from the garden. He set a cherubim there with a flaming sword, lest Adam and Eve come back into the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of life and live forever. Y'all remember that? Yes. Okay. So wherever you find cherubim, who else do you find? God. God, the cherubim are all holy, holy, holy. They guard the holiness of God, if you will. They're always, wherever God is, the cherubim, you will find them. So I believe that is where the throne of God was on this planet, okay? And whenever that specific time, that designated area where the two brothers came, it was right to the gate of Eden that was being guarded, and it was there they offered their sacrifice, okay? Does that make sense? And the reason I say that is because when we get over to Genesis 4:16 about Cain, we're going to find that it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Well, the presence of the Lord was right there where the cherubim were. Okay? Are we all together? Okay, very, very important. Now, with all that being said, it tells us something. It tells us that either Adam and Eve or God had to speak to Cain and Abel about bringing offerings unto God or coming to God his way. Amen? And there's only one way to come to God, by faith and by the blood. There's no other way. Amen? And you say, well, Bill, how did they know to offer sacrifices? Well, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, did God kill two animals? Yes. And did he take that and cover them? Yes, well, they learned it from God the Father. So it speaks of a death. It speaks of blood and so forth. And so here, we look at this and we know that they must have known something because Abel, he brought the first flock. In fact, how did he know that unless somebody told him? Again, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Amen? So this tells me something. Number one, it tells me that Abel, the offering that he brought, he knew that he was a sinner under condemnation. He knew that because of Adam and Eve, he was born with a sinful nature. Does that make sense? But Cain here, I mean, this also tells us that Cain, he believed in God. I mean, he didn't doubt God at all. He knew that God existed, but he came, and the reason he did, he brought an offering too. But there was a difference. Watch this now. It says in verse 4, so Abel also brought, or acted in faith, if you will, he brought of the firstborn of his flock. So he brought the finest lamb that he possessed, and it was going to be a blood sacrifice. Does that make sense? So he brought the firstborn of his flock, and he also did something else, and their fat. Now that means the best portion he gave unto God. And then the Lord respected Abel, his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. So before us right now, I just read the first recorded act of worship in human history, and also the first offering mentioned in the Bible, and one of those offerings was absolutely rejected by God. Why? Abel came with the blood. Abel came by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen? So he came the right way, but Cain, he didn't come the right way. He offered no blood, but he didn't come in faith at all. Why? Cain, well, he just said, I can worship God any way I want to. He knew God existed. He knew about the fall. He knew about everything. Adam and Eve, I've surely told their children. But he came his own way. In other words, he thought he was worthy within himself to come. It says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto the Lord. How did he do that? He did it by faith. Look at verse 5 now of Genesis 4. And it says, and God did not respect Cain and his offering. And look what happened. And Cain was very happy about it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NIV version. Excuse me. It says, and Cain was very angry. In other words, he was burning inside, guys, and his countenance fell. That means that he bowed his head. He hid his eyes that were filled with anger so God wouldn't see them, which we know God saw them anyway. Amen? Now, so the Lord said to Cain, well, why are you angry? Don't you love the Lord? He said, what's wrong with you? Does he ever say it to you? Bill, what's wrong with you? He says that a lot with me, you know? He says, why is your countenance fallen? He said, why are you mad? He says, if you do well, in other words, if you do what is right, if you walk by faith, he says, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, here comes the first mention in the Bible of that word. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door, meaning it's a picture of like a demon hiding outside the door ready to jump on you. He says, sin lies at the door, and look what sin's desire is for. He said, God says, it's for you, man. It wants to enslave you. But you, Cain, you should rule over it. Do you see the grace of God? God talking to him, trying to reason with him. But Cain wasn't willing. He says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass. Say those four words. And it came to pass. Very important four words. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. It's amazing. Cain could not kill a lamb as sacrifice, but he could kill his own brother. And it says it came to pass. Now listen carefully. That means he thought about it. He worked it out in his own mind, his own heart. It's premeditated what he did. It came to pass. So Cain is the world's first murderer. Abel is the first man of faith, and he's also the first murdered martyr. Abel was righteous. Don't forget that. Abel was righteous. Cain was religious. Very big difference here. So listen, why? How in the world did that even come up? I mean, here you got two brothers, the only two brothers in the whole world. Why did he say, I'm going to kill him? What went on and why would he do that? How did that even come about? Well, two things. Number one, his heart. He was fallen, amen? Just like his brother Abel, they were both born fallen, okay, because of Adam's sin. But it was his heart. What did Jesus say proceeds out of our hearts? Thefts and idolatries and murders, remember? It all comes from the heart. But there was another reason. It's because of who his spiritual father was. And Cain's spiritual father was the devil. John 8:44, the devil was a liar from the beginning and he was a murderer from the beginning. Amen? He can't tell the truth. But more than that, let me give you the scripture to prove it. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God, children of the devil, are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who was of the devil, and murdered his brother. In the Greek, that word murdered there literally means to slaughter or butcher someone like an animal. And that's what he did to his brother in the field. And it says, and why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil, but his brothers were righteous in the eyes of God. So that envy and that anger and that jealousy, that's why he did it. Now Genesis 4:9, look at it. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood, that's the first mention of blood in the Bible, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood and from your hand. And when you till the ground, you shall no longer yield its strength to you, a fugitive and a vagabond, homeless refugee or fugitive, if you will. You shall be on earth. So in other words, Cain, your farming days, they are over. And it's all finished. Now you can read when you get home the rest of it. But here's what I want you to catch. It says in verse 16 that Cain did something. He went out away from the presence of the Lord. So look there now back in Hebrews 11:4. Hold your place though. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, by faith, by doing what God required, and God testifying, or literally God approving of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now, what does he speak? In every generation, what does he speak? Well, number one, he speaks that the just shall live by faith. Amen? Remember in Hebrews 12:24, it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better things than that of Abel." You know, if you go back and read Genesis later about Abel, do you know what? About speaking? Abel never said one word. He didn't have any, there's not one recorded word of Abel, okay? But here it says his testimony of faith is speaking to every generation and even to us right now. So the blood of Abel cried out from the earth. What did it cry out for? Justice. The blood of Jesus, which speaks of better things, and Abel cries out from heaven. And what does it cry out? Forgiveness. Reconciliation. I want you to have peace with God. He says, "Come unto me." How do you come unto Jesus? Only one way, by faith. Amen. Now, that was Cain and Abel. Now we move to a man that God took him home to heaven. Watch this. Look at verse 5 now of Hebrews 11. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see or did not experience death and was not found." Why? Well, because God had taken him. "For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." So Enoch, the first man to escape death in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? How many people in the Bible never died physically? Two. Good. Boy, you guys are well taught. You know what? Smart church. Elijah. How did Elijah go up into heaven? There, fiery chariot. The whirlwind up. He was gone, man. And here is Enoch. He was gone. Now, listen carefully. Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. He was Enoch's the seventh from Adam. He was the great-grandfather of Noah, and he was the father, if you will, of Methuselah. And Methuselah lived longer than any person recorded in the Bible. He lived, I think it was, 969 years, I believe it was. Now, with all of that being said, I want to show you about his testimony by turning to chapter 5 of Genesis and look at verse 21 with me. Genesis 5:21. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah," look what Enoch did. "Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and he had daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him," meaning took him up to heaven. Now, we're not told anything about his first 65 years. But after Methuselah was born, it says that he walked with God for 300 years. Can you imagine? Walking with God. Man, I think, dear Lord, Enoch is the first man in the Bible to have been said he walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to fellowship with God, doesn't it? 1 John 1:7, it says, "He who give it to me. If you walk in," there it goes, "if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, we have koinonia, we have intimacy, we have fellowship one with another," meaning you and God, "and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The Bible teaches us, and I believe it's Amos 3:3, how can any two walk together unless they be in agreement? And so here he was in agreement with God, man. He walked with God for 300 years. And not only that, did you know that Enoch was the first prophet in the Bible? He was a pre-flood prophet. And actually the prophecy goes all the way into our generation as well. Let me give it to you from Jude 14. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men," all those horrible false teachers, they were corrupt and so forth. He says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." Now, when is that going to happen? 10,000 of his saints? When is the Lord going to come? Well, the second coming, amen? So can you believe that the prophecy that he quoted, or I'm sorry, said from the Lord, the Spirit of God, man, reaches all the way to us. Now, listen. It says, "The Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints," meaning that number can't even be counted. Now, before he comes with his saints, he has to come for his saints. Amen? Now, that's the rapture. It could occur any moment. It might occur before this sermon is over. You don't know, but you better be ready. Now, so I believe that when we get to Noah, see, Enoch represents the rapture. Noah, I believe, represents the Israel when God takes Israel and protects them during the Great Tribulation period, okay? But here's what I want you to see. Well, first of all, let me read verse 15 of Jude. It says, he came to the second coming. It says, let me read it again. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints, and here's the reason, to execute judgment on all, meaning nobody's going to escape, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, meaning against Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as in Enoch's day and in our day, we're speaking right now of a universal judgment that's going to take place. In Enoch's time, what does he do? He is warning his generation. He said, God's judgment is coming. Now, he doesn't know that it's a flood. He's just saying it's coming. Something is coming, and you better get right with God. Now, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, he's coming back to judge this world, isn't he? Boy, I'll tell you, what a day that is going to be. Now, it says in Hebrews 11:5 again, I want you to look at that. By faith, Enoch, he was taken away, so he did not see or experience death. And look at these words. And was not found, because God had taken him, taking him up to heaven. But for before, it says when he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now listen very carefully. That word, Enoch, was not found. And we read that and we don't understand it. And it's so hard sometimes to we read it and we're not thinking. Or we don't go to the original Hebrew and look at it. What that means is this. When it says Enoch was not found, that means that all of the people were looking for him. The word there is repeatedly, actually, looking for Enoch. Where is he? He's been taken. We don't know where he is, and they were looking for him. See, Enoch was a person that was missed greatly. Does that understand? And you know why he was missed? Because he was a man that not only walked with God, he was a man that pleased God, and everybody knew that. And what does that mean? It means that where is he? Because he blessed my life. See, whenever a person walks with God and you get around them, you're blessed. Do you understand? When you run across a man or a woman that is walking with God, that loves God, that wants to please God, that walks in faith, you know it. There's something there. And when you find a man or a woman that wants to please God, I'm telling you something. Boy, you don't miss those people. You don't miss them until they're no longer there. You don't miss that godly woman or that godly man that's poured their life into you or loved you and supported you and you look to them and because I know you tell me the truth until they're gone. Amen. Now, before Enoch was taken, though, he had a testimony. It says that he not only walked with God for 300 years, but again, he was a man who was known that pleased Almighty God. Can you imagine that? Pleasing Almighty God. Now, question, how in the world did he walk with God for 300 years in that kind of fellowship and please God? There is only one way. Look at verse 6. We have our answer right here. But without faith, it is what? It's impossible. We don't need to give you, listen, you know what impossible means? It means impossible. It means it can't be done. It's not difficult. It can't happen. It's impossible to please God. Why? Well, whoever comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Rewarder. That's the only place you're going to find that word in the New Testament. He's a rewarder of those who seek him, diligently seek him. Good class. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that religion pleases God? Do you think that being a Baptist pleases God? No, I'm not. I'll change the word. Do you believe that belonging to a denomination pleases God? No, not at all. I don't care what. Listen, all the denominations, including Calvary Chapel, they are man-made. They did not drop down from heaven. Do you understand? They're all different camps. But in all of those camps of Christianity, there is only one way to please God. There is no other way to please Him. And the just shall live by faith. There's absolutely no other way to do it, loved one. Listen, and every believer, you are guilty if you don't use your faith. Oh, now, Bill, don't be mean. I'm not being mean. I'm teaching the Bible. What do you mean by that? I mean this, that every Christian has been given a measure of faith. Romans 12:3, you have a measure of faith given unto you. And if you read that 12th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 3, you'll find out that that faith has been given unto you to exercise the spiritual giftings that God has placed in you. You have everything you need. See, man, listen, every believer has faith, but how does it grow? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by
hearing.
And by hearing the word, the spoken word of God. So, true Bible faith believes there is only one true living God. True Bible faith believes that God truly exists. But does true Bible faith believe that God can be found? Does true Bible faith believe that God can be found and that God wants to be found? Listen to the promise from our Father. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me, God says, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, saith the Lord. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Boy, seeking God. Remember the two words for revolution? Remember the two words that Jesus used that he never spoke about any other thing in the Bible but one thing about seeking first? Remember that? Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, that's where our provision is. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things, everything you need in life, all these things will be added unto you, not subtracted from you. Amen? Colossians 3:1 and following. It says, seek things below, but above where Christ is. Amen? We're to seek Him. And when you seek Him, you shall find Him. And true Bible faith believes something else, that God loves to reward His people, His sheep, the ones that Jesus died for, when we eagerly and sincerely, when we seek Him. And He's not talking about salvation. Salvation is not a reward, loved one. Salvation is a gift. Eternal life is a gift from God. Amen? And He's talking about the promises of God, that every promise belongs to you. And they're all fulfilled, and they're all, yes, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, with all that being said, God is a rewarder. And you know what He said about rewards? Remember what He told Abraham in Genesis 15:1? He told Abraham, He says, Abraham, I am your shield. Oh, what a great word. I am your shield, buddy. I'm going to protect you. I am your shield. And here it comes. And your exceedingly great reward. God says to you right this very moment, I'm your reward. God is our portion. Do you understand that? I can't even comprehend that, loved one. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. No one is going to reward you for the way you live on this planet except God. Only God. And He wants to. But you have to walk in faith. You have to hear the Word of God and then do the Word of God. Now, let's turn to the third person. Look at verse 7 in Hebrews 11. And it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. And look what he did. Prepared an ark for the saving of his what? His household, his family. By which Noah, condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Righteousness, loved one. Right standing with God comes only one way, by faith. confessing with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord, amen, being born from above, and he imputes Christ's righteousness into your account. Man, all by faith. Now hold your place and turn back to Genesis and look in chapter 6, go to verse 5, and let's look at Noah's world quickly. It says, then the Lord saw, in Genesis 6, 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was, number one, it was great in the earth, and watch this, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, how long? Continually. Now, welcome to Noah's world. Think about that. Every person on earth in Noah's generation, every person, every man, every woman, every child, every teenager, what? Every person on earth, it says about their thinking, their heart, what was there. Not some, it says everyone. All day long, continually, it was thoughts of evil. A world that was so evil, there was absolutely no more hope for. We're living in a world right now that's close to this, loved one. God says, I can't fix this one. I have to destroy it. I have to take it off the face of the earth. I have to destroy everything. Look at verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, both beast, creeping things, birds of the air, Democrats, Republicans. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong version. For I'm sorry that I made them. Now, you know, when you, sorry or grieving is a love word. Did you know that? You can't grieve for someone you don't love. God grieved over this. But Noah found unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. In other words, he lived right. He was a righteous man. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah, what? Walked with God. The just shall live by faith. He walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we know those three boys there. Once the world was destroyed, from them the whole earth would be repopulated, them and their wives, of course. Now, I want you to notice something. It says Noah walked, and that's past tense. So Noah was walking with God, if you will, fellowshipping with God, long before God called him to do anything. And that's very important. He lived a life of faith before God. Look at verse 11. The earth was perverted or corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence, that lawlessness, if you will. So God looked down upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt. For all flesh, every person, had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, that rhema word, God is speaking. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh, not some flesh, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. Now, I don't have time to read verses 15 through 21. You know how God said, put a window here, this here, and so forth. And he said, you're going to bring all that first animal migration in the world. Remember how they all, not all of them, but the ones that God told him to bring into the ark. Now, listen very carefully. What would you do if right today, you leave here, you go home, you get in your favorite chair, get your iced tea or milk or whatever you're going to do when you get off or leave here, and you hear a voice like this, like Noah heard. Noah, you're going to be the last generation of this world. Everybody's going to die. I'm going to kill every living thing, whatever has breath. I am going to destroy. I'm going to pour out my judgment on every human being on this planet. But I want you to do something. I want you to make yourself, and he gives the directions, okay? Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. It's about 450 feet long, 75 feet high, 75 feet wide. And he says, only going to have one door. And it gives him all of the instructions. And you know that word pitch there, by the way, we get our word in the Old Testament, atonement, the covering. In other words, the ark was a place where the judgment of God would not touch them. Does that make sense? They were atoned for. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to go now to Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And you know, I don't have time to read all those verses of what God told him to do. But after God said, okay, here's how I want the ark, this is the material, da-da-da-da-da, gets to the very end in Genesis 6, 22, it says, thus Noah did. Can you believe that? How did Noah do it? He did it all by faith, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now listen to me. Noah was called upon by God to do something that he had never experienced, that he didn't have any personal knowledge about, and that he had never, ever seen in his life. Does that make sense? Listen, that's faith. That is faith, loved one. Oh, look at Genesis 7:1. Genesis 7:1. Now, I just read Genesis 6:22. I'm going to Genesis 7:1. The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark and all your household. Now, listen very carefully. The time between Genesis 6:22 and 7:1, chapter 7:1, is over 100 years. Now, if you go back, I want you to do a study. God spoke to Noah 7 times, but he spoke 6 of those times before chapter 7, verse 1. Are you listening to me? What does that mean? It means this, that Noah, by faith, for 120 years, had no proof, no evidence. All he had was what God had spoken to him. Do you understand? Man, listen, he waited, he labored, he lived for 120 years trusting God, and God had not spoken to him in over a century. I don't know if that doesn't move you, but it moves me. Amen. And I say, wait a minute, Lord. You mean there was over a century of silence and you never spoke to him? Never? That's exactly right. Just one time. And it says, thus Noah did. He never questioned. You can't find any place where Noah questioned God. Now listen to me. Noah acted on one single command from God for over 120 years. Never heard a word except that last time. Then God finally spoke to him. Now listen to me. Do you think Noah and his family, Ham, Japheth, and the other guy, whatever, Seth, whatever, you know, do you think that they were probably just like our kids? I mean, do you think that maybe for 120 years, I mean, here is my dad. He's building this thing. You understand? And God has spoken to him. And everyone in the world thinks he's crazy. Do you think that maybe Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that they came and said, Dad, can we talk? I mean, listen, Dad, we love you. We love you. And we know you hear voices. But listen, you know, I'm not trying to pressure you, Dad, but you don't even know what you've built. I don't even know what you've built. Do you think maybe since it's just you that all those others might be right? Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh, I say, dear God, listen, he acted on one single command from God for over 120 years. And then God did something. He spoke. I want you to listen to me. To me, that is the greatest act of faith in the entire Bible. I say, dear Lord, what kind of man was he? Now look at Hebrews 11:7 again. Hold your place and look at it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things, what? Not yet seen. Not seen them at all. And so these things that had never happened on planet Earth before, never even seen on Earth before. Had anyone on planet Earth ever seen an ark? No, that wasn't even part of his vocabulary until God spoke that. Does that make sense? Had they ever seen rain? Have they ever seen a flood? Have they ever seen the bottoms of the earth open up with all the water? No, they'd never seen that. Not one drop of rain Noah had ever felt. But God said, it's going to rain, man. Man, I'm seeing a flood, buddy. I'm destroying every living thing. You say, well, where did the water come from? How did things grow? Well, Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that God sent a mist up upon the ground to grow the things. But it had never, ever, ever rained. Faith, by faith, Noah sees what is unseen. And that's what faith does, because faith believes God. Do you understand? God said it, that settles it. I've not been to heaven, but God said that I have a home that he's prepared for me. Amen? And I don't care what anybody else says. I see it. It's there. How? Because God said it, and he can't lie. Now look at it again. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he was moved with godly fear. Now, the word moved there means this. He was convicted. Noah was convicted. He heard God's word. He was convicted of God's word because he believed God's word. And look what he did. He was moved with godly fear, and then he did something because of it. He prepared an ark. That's faith in action, loved one. He prepared an ark, and look for the reason, for the saving of his household. Faith worketh by love. He loved his family. Now listen, he prepared an ark, something he and all the people of earth had never, ever seen. By faith, Noah the father, he prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Did you know that Noah, out of the millions on planet earth, only Noah was the only father to prepare a place of safety for his family? I'm telling you, we need fathers. Are you preparing your home? You can't, oh, no, thank you. I can't say that. I was getting ready to be mean. But I want to speak the truth in love. Loved one, listen. You better be preparing your home. Noah prepared a place for his family. Question, do you think that at all the multitudes of people there for 120 years, Noah was doing the ark and all that kind of stuff? Do you think that he was the ongoing joke? Do you think that maybe everybody on earth thought he was a little loony? Do you think that just maybe he was considered a failure in the sight of everyone on this planet? Yes. And you know what he did for 120 years besides building the ark? He preached. 2 Peter 2:5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning his generation. Judgment is coming, guys. You've got to get right with God. He was warning them over and over and over for 120 years as he built the ark. He warned the ungodly. How many converts did he win? None. Not one single person. Now listen very carefully. Last night, I was here late. And it's been a long week. And I wrote down some things. And I want to say them to this church exactly the way that I wrote them down, okay? And listen very carefully. Noah, I love this guy. Noah did not allow the majority, all the people in the world, the majority, to shape the way he thinks. Think about that. He didn't, listen, Noah didn't act like the world. He didn't live like the world. He didn't look like the world. And he didn't think like the world. He was not conformed to that world that he lived in. He was transformed because he heard the word of God and he believed the word of God and he acted upon the word of God. Does that make sense? He refused to allow the majority to shape his thinking. No, I'm not like that. No, you're wrong. Noah, there's no such thing as water. There's no such a flood, a rain. Noah, what you built? Why would you build an ark on dry land? You're nuts. He refused to allow all the world. Think how many people. How many people change your way of thinking? Come on. Noah said, no one's going to change the way I think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is in his heart. He said, you're not going to touch my thinking. I know God exists. I believe in God. I know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I heard his voice. I'm building an ark. And not only that, he did not allow all of the incredible majority to shape his thinking, but also this, he never allowed the world to shake his faith in the living God. Never. No matter what they threw at him, no matter what they did to him, he said, no, I believe the word of God. That's what faith does. But faith does something else. Let me read the things I put down last night. It says, by faith, Noah, I said this, he trusted God when things don't make sense. That's when you trust God, loved one. I don't know what to do. The whole world is against me. I don't know which way to turn. I mean, all these circumstances, it just doesn't make sense to trust God right now. Surely there's another. No. Noah trusted God when it didn't make sense. I've never heard of an ark, Noah said. I don't know. I just trust God. He said it. That settles it. Does that make sense? Sometimes God asks you to do things that doesn't make sense in your life. But if it's God, do them. Amen? And then you'll see the fruit of it. The second thing I wrote down is this. By faith, Noah faced the entire world and did not compromise. God, I mean, that just blows me away. You talk about today's church, have we compromised? Yes. Come on, man. And I say, he didn't compromise. By faith, Noah did something else. He pursued a life work without any proof. Only God's word. Only God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. What does that mean? It means that Noah believed the voice of God over the millions that were on planet Earth at that time. One more. By faith, Noah did something else. He prepared the only place of safety on planet Earth. The only place of safety on planet Earth. And after over 100 years of silence, God speaks to Noah. Let me read what he said. Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. That means he was in the ark already. Come into the ark, you and all of your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Genesis 7:16. And the Lord shut Noah in. The door of grace. God closed that door. Now listen, Noah would never see the old world again. When the waters finally receded, the ark landed upon Mount Ararat, he was in a brand new world. Now listen, back then, when that day finally arrived, God had shut Noah into the ark. He's safe in his family. They're safe. Business was going on as usual. They were probably mocking him. They're in the ark, and they were still probably mocking Noah. Do you understand? And then it was just that normal day, business as usual. And then the moment that God shut that door, suddenly something happened. Genesis 7:11 says, and then all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights and so forth and so forth. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Noah and eight people, his family, they're in the ark. God has shut them in. Do you think the people outside were yelling at Noah? Do you think all of a sudden when the fountains of the deep broke open, do you think, was the world shocked? Everyone on earth, were they shook up? Yes. Do you think they beat on that door? Do you think that maybe Noah heard them beating on the door? If I was out there, I would beat on that door. Do you understand? Let me in. But see, Noah had preached for 120 years. Come in. We're going to get in this thing. Do you follow me? Not one person wanted in. Do you think mothers turned to their husband and says, I thought you said that he was just a crazy old man. I thought you said there was no such thing as rain. I thought you said there was no such thing as judgment from God. See, this really happened, loved one. You know what really blows me away about Noah? Did you know, you can do a study later, Genesis 5, I think it's Genesis 5:30. Do you know that Noah had other brothers and sisters? They didn't get in the ark. Do you understand that? They didn't get into the ark. They did not believe their own brother. They were with the majority out there that were saying he was crazy. Now look at Hebrews 11:7 again. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, things not seen. We've been warned too, by the way. Moved with godly fear, he prepared the ark for the saving of his household, which, here it comes, Noah condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. I don't know how you're going to take this. I mean, I look at this and I say, oh God, by faith, Noah condemned the entire world. Are you listening to me? Do you listen to what I just read? One man believing what God said put the entire world, the entire earth, in the wrong. That meant that Noah was the only right person on the planet. And I say, oh Lord. And when it was all over, there was only one visible thing floating on the waters, because the earth was completely covered with water. And it was the ark. I look at that and I say, oh Lord. He rose above God's judgment. He rose because they believed God. He rose above it. He overcome the world. 1 John 5:4-5. Whoever is born of God, whoever is a new creation, whoever is born again overcomes the world. And this is the faith that overcomes. It's our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? We, too, have overcome the world if we start walking in our faith that God has given to us. And we keep growing in our faith. Loved one, listen, you know, the world is going to end. Did you know our world is going to end, too? Do you know it's passing away? And do you know that we're living in days right now like the days of Noah? Did you know that? I mean, you look around. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Listen to him, the Son of God. Let me read it to you. Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, we learn from the past, he says, go back and read it. As the days of Noah were, then he says, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Boy, coming to a world like the world of Noah. We live in a world that is unprepared for what's coming. Did you know that? We live in a generation right now that is so weak. They can't, they're not strong, loved one. And the church, we must be strong. He says, for in the days before the flood, listen to what they were doing all the way back then in Noah's generation. Jesus says, hey, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. Until the very moment, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Listen, for 120 years Noah preached, and they were untouched by God's truth, and it took them all away into a godless eternity. He says, Jesus said, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Noah's generation warned but indifferent. This generation warned, indifferent. Indifferent. I hope the church is not indifferent. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What faith does. By faith, Noah. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Man, that is great. That is what faith really is. And not only that, that is how to have revolution in any church. You know how it is? You believe God. God said it. That settles it. And you know that you cannot come to God without faith, for who comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of him who diligently seeks him. Listen to me. I don't know how, I don't want to be aggressive, but I feel like it. I don't know how this moves you. I've taught through Genesis, I don't know, three times, I guess, over the years here. But every time I study Noah, it moves me nearly to tears. And listen to me, one man, what a man. One man stood against the entire world. God help us. One man. No, you're not going to shape my thinking. You're not. I don't care what you do. I am doing what God has told me to do. Is there one kind of faith for Abel and Enoch and Noah and another kind of faith for the 21st century church? No. What's wrong with us? Are we ready? Are we really getting ready? We don't know what's coming. We don't, listen, whether we say revolution or revival, the word doesn't matter. The fact is, are we ready? Are we really saying, I don't care what happens, I don't care what comes, in spite of every circumstance and difficulty, whatever is coming, I stand because I believe God. I believe the promises of God, and I will die believing the promises of God, even though I don't receive it. That's what we're going to learn, lay way on in the Hall of Fame of Faith. No. Loved one, listen to me. By faith, right now, I mean right now, the church, forget about, we can't be sissies, man. By faith, right now, we must labor just like Noah. Do you understand? Right now, by faith, we must walk just like Enoch walked. We have that fellowship with God. I just want to please you. By faith, we have to do something. We have to offer right now a more excellent sacrifice unto the Lord. Like Abel did. What is the sacrifice that God wants? What does God really want from you and me? I'll tell you what he wants. Here's what he wants. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, that word means I'm begging you, I urge you. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The incredible mercy of God, that you do something, that you present. That word present means it's a picture of a priest offering a sacrifice on an altar. That you present your bodies, say that word, bodies, not body singular, bodies plural. That means the entire body of Christ. Amen. That you present yourselves living sacrifices to God. Living sacrifices to God. Live for him by faith. Don't be conformed to this world. No, it wasn't. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A transformed mind produces a transformed will. Do you understand? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. No, I may not see it. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Well, do you know when? I don't have to know when. I just know he's coming. Well, what's a day and hour? He said I couldn't know the day and hour. That settles it. I'm happy with that. Does that make sense? He just said, believe that I'm coming, and believe that I'm coming quickly, and believe that I'm coming suddenly, and believe that I have my reward with me. He is coming. And I'm telling you something. We, the 21st century church, we have to wake up now. When I was in my study this morning here at the church, I was praying about the sermon. And I'm not going to say God spoke to my heart, although I believe it was God. It could be just Bill. It could be. It doesn't really matter, but I believe it to be true. And here's my question to you as I prepare to close. I wonder, we studied out these men of faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah. I wonder if Cain, who killed Abel, is a picture of the 21st century church today. You know why? Because Cain said, I can worship God my way. Cain said, I don't believe I'm really a sinner. I don't really believe I'm that bad. And I believe God will accept anything I bring him. And I brought him the fruit of that ground, the work of my own hands. And you know what? He has to accept it because I'm a good person. No. And there's a condition of the church. I want the church my way. You serve me when you walk through the door. Don't, you know, No. You got to have everything right. This program, that program. You know what I say about all that? I say we better get right, and we better get right now. That's what I say. We better get our thinking lined up with God's thinking. God's word said this, let his mind be your mind. The mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me now. See, Cain said, I can serve any way, walk any way, do what I want to do. And if I don't like it, I can get mad. I'll even kill my own brother. Listen to me. Abel was righteous and Cain was religious. He honored God with his mouth, but with his lips. He gave God lip service, but his heart was far from him. The days are coming. And you know, I have no pleasure saying those things. But if I don't say what I know God wants me to say, I'm disobedient. We have to get right with God. And there's only one way. It's faith. We have to love the one who died on the cross for our sins, who took our place. He died for me. He died for you. You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, you better run to him. You're listening live and you don't know Jesus. You better run to him. And Christian, if you think you can just never serve God, never pray, never open your Bible, you're in trouble. I love you. You're in trouble. Don't fault me for telling you the truth. Jesus said this, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I didn't say that. Jesus did. It's time. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. We don't want to be like Cain. We don't want to be demanding our own rights. We want to serve you. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you know, you don't know Jesus. You never asked him to be the Lord of your life. Or maybe you're just playing church, playing Christian. You're just a Jesus namer, but you're not a Jesus follower. If that's you, why don't you get right with God right now? You say, Bill, how do you do that? Just lift your hand and say, I want to get right with God. I want to get right with God. I want to get right with him right now. And then put your hand right back down. That's right. God, yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see that. God, you're good. Yes, I see that. God bless you. So I want to get right now. But there's some of you that you're not born again. And this may be your last chance. If you don't come to Christ today, you may never have that opportunity again. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, he wants you. He wants you to be. He loves you. If you don't know the Lord, will you let him save you right now? And you say, Bill, how? Just lift your hand. Say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be. Yes, God bless you. That's right. I want Jesus. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Yes, God bless you, sir. Yes, God bless you. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to save me. I want him to save from my sins and from hell. Anyone? Yes, God bless you. That's right. So, God bless you. I see that. Yes, that's right. I want Jesus. I want to be saved. Right. God bless you. That's right. Now, last call. Last call. Father, you just saw their hearts because they lifted their hands. You know all things, Lord. Lord, those that want to get right with you, that are not walking with you, that are believers, they lifted their hand and that just said, Lord, yes, I want to walk. I want to please you. Forgive me. And they're cleansed. Those others, Lord, they lifted their hands because they want Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And those that are listening live, they lifted their hands too. So here's what I want you to do. Those who lifted your hands to receive Christ, you pray this prayer with me. In church, help me right now. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I come to you by the precious blood of Christ. And right now, I do what pleases you by faith. I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised, and you cannot lie. You said if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord, and if I would believe it in my heart, you would save me. Save me now. I believe in Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is good. No, I said God is good. God is moving. He's moving. Why? He knows that we have to move in the right direction. Church, pray. Keep praying. You that lifted your hands, listen, we're going to close with a song. And you, I got to get it right. Yes, thank you, Mario. He said, straighten up, Bill. You that lifted your hands, receive Jesus, we're going to close with a song in a moment. And then please come to the altar. They have a booklet. They're going to have it in their hand for you. All you have to do is come and pick it up. It's called Welcome to the Family of God. You that are listening live right now, whatever means it may be, all if you prayed that prayer, listen, email me right now, info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address, and that booklet will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning. Now, if you need prayer, you know that the altar is always open for prayer after we close with the song, but please respect the altar. Would you let the altar workers, they're prayer warriors. They're going to pray with people that are hurting or whatever the need may be. So respect this space and fellowship away from this area. Is that okay? And if you're visiting for the very first time over in the main lobby at the Welcome Center, they have a free gift. I don't know what it is. Somebody told me that they bought me a red Corvette. It's parked out there. I don't really know. But anyway, go get your gift. We're glad you're here today. Amen. I tell you, I sense it, man. I sense it. I feel it. As the world gets more wicked, the church gets more righteous. Amen. We're going to be on fire. We're going to do what God says, and we're going to believe it by faith. And when you do, God says, hey, he believes by faith. I give you the power to do it. It's time to go home. I know. We're going to sing. Let's sing. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good, he's so good to me, and I love him so, thank you. I love him so, thank you, Jesus. I love him so, he's so good to me. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you in Jesus' name.